Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota, and my program number 77, Cup of Goodness. We are spending our time just in the mornings looking at the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that's to lead people to repentance these days, not the fear of God as far as the severity of God, etc., etc. The fear of God, that God is still God. He certainly isn't like one of us, and we're certainly not like Him. But the goodness of God is what you're not hearing in your churches. I guarantee that just about every church that's out there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as well as in North Dakota, as well as in South Dakota, as well in all the other Dakotas, of which there are no more. But it's not being taught in the churches. So this is an opportunity provided by a local Texas man out of the Dallas area that's financing this program. So let's just keep going with our education about the knowledge of the risen Savior, as taught to us by the Apostle Paul, from a King James Bible and King James Bible only, and that King James Bible must be rightly divided. Otherwise, you got confusion, you got contradictions, you've got doctrine being taught from different dispensations into other dispensations, and it is really a mess. And no wonder people are mad at God. No wonder people don't believe in God. No wonder people don't believe in their Bible anymore. It's a mess. Over 400 different Bible versions out there, and they all say different things. What's the story? And in early America, we only had one. And now we've got 400 or so. What is the story? You want to hear the story? The rest of the story? You don't have to return to Paul Harvey. You can just turn to Mike Paulson, and I will give you the rest of the story. Actually, I will give you the truth. Everybody says that, I know. But like I say, this is based on one Bible. It's not my interpretation. It's what the Scriptures say. And it's not archaic. We can get into all sorts of crazy stuff here. But listen, this morning, I've got some questions today. I'm going to ask some questions. I've been receiving some emails lately from folks in your neighborhood down there. Yeah. And I've got some folks from Utah writing. I've got some folks writing questions from different parts of the country. And they all pretty much tell me the same thing. They start to get a hold of this thing. They realize what the King James Bible is, and they're going to King James Bible churches, and they mention this stuff to their pastor, and their pastor just gets angry. Why do they get angry? Why can't they just say, no, this guy's nuts? And no, why do they get angry? Well, we're going to talk about stuff like that for a while. We're going to take on your local pastor. If you have a pastor that is telling you stuff, or if you've got one you love and care for, he's probably a nice guy, probably a nice lady, you know, whatever the story is, get them to listen into this thing, and then have them show you with scriptures, or I'm not so. Like Festus said to Paul, Paul, thou art mad. Much learning has made thee mad, you know. No, they're the ones that get mad, and I don't mean not so. They get angry. So I've got some questions today. And I probably won't get through them all today, but then again I may not. It's whatever. So, what do you think? Let me take on some questions here. First of all, I bet you've heard the phrase original autographs. And people will say, well, yes, of course I believe the original autographs were inspired. Well, you know what? So do I. I really do. And not only that, but God used sinful men like Moses, David, Solomon, Peter, Paul, all these guys, to write down his words. But see, I'm going to go a little further than that. I believe in the preservation of those inspired words. And I have them in my King James Bible. This Bible is Scripture. So both inspiration and preservation are actions by God. And we are assured by God, as stated in the Scriptures, that He promised to preserve His inspired words. Matter of fact, I'll even go a step further than just about every King James Bible preaching pastor out there. I will say that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is referring to the King James Bible. And if that's true, which I believe without a shadow of a doubt it has to be, then the King James Bible is inspired too. It's a process by God. It's something that God had to have His hand on. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's His promise. Oh, by the way, that is Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7, and the King James Bible is the only one that has that promise. So all these other Bibles, they take out his promise to preserve his words. And yet those people will believe in inspiration. They'll believe that God inspired their original autographs. But here's some of my questions. Why would God inspire the originals and then not preserve them? What's the point of even saying anything? What's the point of having them ever written down if he's not going to preserve them when he makes that kind of a promise? Well, hey, that's a pretty good question there. Very good, yeah. Why would God inspire the originals and then not preserve them as promised? Well, the answer to that is he did inspire them and he did preserve them. So the question then is, where is it? But we'll get to that in a minute. Let me ask you this question. If you or your pastor or somebody does claim that God has allowed some errors in the Bible today, if he's okay with that, well, why do you not afford him or allow for him for making errors in the originals? So maybe those originals, as inspired as they are, might have some mistakes in them. But wait a minute. Nobody has the originals. I don't care what your pastor or spiritual guru or anybody says, the originals are gone, lost, destroyed, kapuzoed, not available. So, isn't the kind of faith that you have is very convenient because, see, it cannot be tested? I mean, after all, since all the perfect set of originals are lost or destroyed, you can rest safely in the fact that you can't be challenged. Or if they challenge you, they'll never prove you wrong, since the evidence needed to prove you wrong is gone. That's pretty convenient, pretty safe. So you can believe anything you want, and they can believe anything they want. Nobody has the proof to prove that you're wrong. If you look into the originals for your final authority, which do not exist, what's wrong with believing God can preserve his words? Well, your Bible doesn't say that. Well, I know that. So why don't you get a Bible that has the promise in it? How about this one? Are you afraid to dare put that same kind of faith into a single Bible today? It's available. King James Bible is still there. All these other Bible publishers and committee people compare themselves to a King James Bible. I wonder why that is. Let's keep going here. Isn't it a fact that to believe in the perfect set of originals, which don't exist, but not believe in a perfect English Bible, is to believe nothing at all? Because you have nothing to prove what you believe, so you really don't believe in anything. You don't believe in this English Bible, and you believe in originals, but they don't exist, so you really believe in nothing. Okay, how about this? To enforce a convenient faith, which is what this would be, would you go so far as to say, as others have said, that what God actually meant in Psalm 119, verse 89, and it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So do you or your pastor or others think that what God actually meant is that he preserved his perfect scriptures, but only up in heaven, not here on earth? Okay. So if that's true, then didn't God write a book to himself and not to man? Did God write all this stuff down for him, for himself? Doesn't want you to have it. Doesn't want me to have it. Is man so powerful that he can deny God's promise of preservation? Man can get in there and tweak it up. Are we that powerful? Or is God powerful enough to preserve his scriptures that he inspired? Which takes me back to my first question. Why would he inspire them, but not preserve them? There'd be absolutely no purpose for that. So, I've got to ask, what is Scripture today? Where are the Scriptures today? Another question. Who taught you that the King James Bible is not the Word of God? Who taught you that? Because, see, in America, King James Bible used to be the only Bible we had. That's just the way it was. It was a King James Bible. Who started the process of telling people that Bible has got mistakes, it's got contradictions in there? Who started to tell people that the King James Bible was not the Word of God? And look how far it's gone today. Somebody comes along, has to convince you that the King James Bible is the Word of God. It's totally reversed. Isn't that amazing? Okay, let's keep going here. If the word scriptures refers to the original manuscripts, and just that, the original manuscripts, parentheses, which do not exist, unparentheses, or whatever you say, if scripture refers to the original manuscripts, wasn't Jesus being deceptive to the people that were listening to him? How about Paul? Were they lying? Well, what do you mean? Well, here, let's go to some scriptures here. Matthew 21:42, Jesus says this, Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, etc., etc. So he's asking these guys, did you never read in the scriptures? Well, Jesus, I'm sorry, but the originals, they're gone. So how are they to read in the scriptures? Okay, how about Matthew 22:29? Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Well, how do they know the scriptures if the scriptures are gone? What are the scriptures? The words of God. So how could they know the scriptures if they have to go to the originals only? And of course, the originals were gone for what they were talking about then. Okay. How about Mark 14:49? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. What scriptures? What are we talking about here? What scriptures? Nobody has them. What's going on here? Mark 15:28, and the scripture was fulfilled. Luke 4:21, and he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, what is this scripture? And beginning at Moses in Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So these scriptures that Jesus had, and these scriptures that told everybody about him, where are they at? Was he lying? Here's a big one in John 5:39, search the scriptures. He just tells them, search the scriptures. Well, if the originals, where are they gone? Are they gone? John 7:42, hath not the scripture said? So what is that about? John 10:35, if you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. What scripture? I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. John 17:12, scripture might be fulfilled. John 19:24, the scripture might be fulfilled. John 19:28, the scripture might be fulfilled. John 19:36, that the scripture should be fulfilled. Acts 1:16, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Acts 8:32, and the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Acts 8:35, same chapter, same story, same characters. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Oh, so Philip had scriptures. I wonder where those are at. Are they all gone? Well, what about Paul? Well, see, here's part of the deal. Remember, scripture, the word of God, the words of God. And they had their manuscripts. Paul even said one time in Timothy, he said, make sure you bring the parchments with you. He wanted those papers. He wanted that papyrus. He wanted those things that were written down. Those are the scriptures. But do we have those today? Where's the scriptures that Paul carried around with him? Where are the scriptures that Jesus taught out of? Where are the scriptures that Jesus told those guys to study? And now we got Paul saying this. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Where are those scriptures written? Well, see, Paul hadn't even written his yet. So what we have today, we don't have what those guys had in those days. They had the scribbles and the scraps. And besides that, they had God telling them directly. We've learned that from Paul in the Corinthians. But see, 1 Corinthians 13:10 comes along, and God takes all these scriptures that have been talked about and written down in different pieces and this and that, whatever, and God would tell people things. He put those all into a book. It's that simple. And so to this day, those very same scriptures exactly the way he inspired them and then preserved them, we have today in the King James Bible. Can you say that about your Bible? Do you know the blood that was shed for the history of the King James Bible? Do you know the blood that was not shed for an NIV, ASV, RSV, QAB, ABC, DEF, HIJ? There's no blood shed for those things. Let's go back to Acts 17:11. Paul says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily." They had to have something, and they didn't have Paul's books yet. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria," remember him, Acts 18:24, "he was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures." Must have had some scriptures to be mighty in. Plus, we know God would tell these people things. Those are scriptures. Acts 18:28, "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." That's what Paul was able to do. He was able to do that. Showed them the scriptures. And said, "Listen, this is what Moses said. This is what was said. Here we go. Here they are." Well, where are those scriptures today? King James Bible. Here's a good one. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh." What? "Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee." The scriptures? It says the scripture. "The scripture saith unto Pharaoh." Oh. You think he had a King James Bible? No, because 1 Corinthians 13:10 hadn't taken his place yet. We're going back to Pharaoh. Scripture. God's words. "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Okay, where does it say that? Do you have the scriptures? Are you sure that that's the scripture that says that? Do you have that scripture that says that? Here's a good one, Romans 15:4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, we've got to remember, we've got to think about this. This is a little beyond what most King James guys think here. These Scriptures, God inspired, God breathed. So if God breathed them, he could breathe them to the people that he wanted them to hear, in part, right? Right? And eventually, some of those things were written down because Jesus was able to teach from them, as was Philip. Then we get to Paul. He was telling people things. You know what he was telling them? He was telling them scriptures. And notice in Romans 15:4, he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime." So the scriptures that Paul had were already written down. So do we have those scriptures? Do we have those today? God promised to preserve them. Oh, excuse me, your Bible doesn't say that, so you'd rather go by the fact that this Bible and another Bible and another Bible and another Bible and the Message Bible and the Living Bible and all these modern Bibles all say different things. But that's okay, because God will show you in your heart what he really means. Thus, we have massive confusion, massive perversion, and people being set up for the Antichrist, because they got no scriptures that expose the Antichrist, that expose the devil for what he is. He wants to be like the Most High. Oh, excuse me, you in the back row, that's the King James Bible that tells me that. That's the only Bible that tells me that. And the goodness of God, oh, the marvelous goodness of God, that's only taught in the King James Bible. Program number 77, and you still don't want to believe that? Maybe you haven't listened to all the other 76 programs. Well, they're only 30 minutes long. And within that 30 minutes, there's about 28 minutes of talking, and it's about 5 minutes or whatever of some piano. Can't be that horrible to put yourself through. Let's keep going here. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And here's a really good one, Galatians 3:8. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." Whoa, the scriptures. But I thought Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 that nobody knew about this stuff beforehand. Scriptures did. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Wow, see? Then he gets into Abraham and everything. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. Scripture says that. Galatians 3:22. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I'm talking to Timothy about that. So from a child, Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures. Do you know that your children can learn the Holy Scriptures today? Well, they got to have a King James Bible. Oh, they can't make sense of that. Oh, sure they can. If your child's being taught to read properly, phonetically, and you read to them and he helps them learn to read, the King James Bible's not hard to read. What about all the these and the thous and the yees and the yeas? We've talked about that. That's just anything with a T is singular, anything with a Y is plural. And all we have in America is the word you. It could be singular, it could be plural. But see, the King James Bible takes the guesswork out of that. Anyway. And then he says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's where we get our inspirational verse. Now, some of your Bibles out there say all scripture that is given by inspiration of God. That doesn't mean all scripture is inspired by God. You've got to stick to the King James. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what it's there for. Do you have those scriptures? I mean, if you're going to learn about doctrine, it's profitable for doctrine. You need to have the scriptures for reproof. Not that you want to be reproved, but you got to have the scripture. And if you want to be corrected, if you want to be shown where you're off base and everything, scriptures will do that. For instruction in righteousness, the scripture will do that. But if you don't have the scripture, then you're not going to necessarily be taught instruction in righteousness. Now, here's what another Bible says. I read this the other day about the Duck Dynasty crowd out there. The Robertson guy, the dad or whatever, he says, we read the Bible. All scripture is useful. Useful? Just useful? Is useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking. Wait a minute, what happened to inspiration of God? Does our head duck not believe that the scriptures were inspired of God? He says it's useful for teaching. Teaching? Doctrine and teaching, a little bit deeper meaning in the word doctrine. For rebuking, that says for reproof. If we had the time, we could talk about that another day. And for training in righteousness. Wait a minute. Training in righteousness? Training? Well, which training are you going to do? Old Testament training? Gospel training? Paul's training? Paul doesn't train us. He instructs us. And there is a difference to that. There is a difference to that. So he says, so we trained our children in the biblical ways. Well, I'm sorry, Duck Robertson, but that's not quite true what you've done. You've passed on a false teaching. You've taught about Jesus, but you're setting your kids up for the coming of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6. You really believe that? I really do believe that. Let me ask you this question. We're done with that part of it. Let's get back to another question here. And I got some more questions, and I'll save them for tomorrow's program. If you claim the King James Bible has errors, and your pastors do, just about all of them out there do, then I have to ask, what and where is the Scriptures, this inerrant Bible? Where is it? Seriously, it's not available anymore? Like I said, is man that powerful that we can stop God with his Scriptures? He can inspire them, but he can't preserve them. He chose to inspire them, but he chose not to preserve them. Is it the NASV? The NKJV, the LB, the NEB, the ASV, the JB, the NAB, the... Oh, I could go down a massive list. No point. I guess if the scriptures are not available anymore, or if they have errors, then you have no originals to prove that they're wrong. You just have to go by faith, but somehow your faith seems to be a bit based on the error side. I just believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. The question I'm going to discuss tomorrow, why does it actually bother people that I'm King James only? How many people are bothered that you're NIV? How many people are bothered when you say, oh, I believe the Message Bible? I follow such and such. I listen to such and such. I have the scriptures. I believe in the original. Why does that not bother anybody? But as soon as somebody says, I'm King James Bible guy, King James only, sure. And they get angry. It bothers them. I follow Paul. Why do pastors get so angry about that? Well, do they get angry? Oh, have I got stories for you? I got stories, not just because I'm 64 and want to tell stories. I got stories about what pastors react to this stuff. I've had people get excited about their Bible because I showed them the stuff about rightly dividing, and they will say things, you know, my questions are suddenly all answered. They will say, you know, it makes total sense. And then they'll go, I've got to go back and tell my pastor. I never hear from him again. Now, in the program earlier, we did talk about why pastors won't preach Paul's teachings. But my question is, why does it bother them? Maybe it bothers you. Why does it bother you that I preach King James only? Why does it bother you that I preach Paul only? Why does it bother you that I can expose the coming of the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 6 versus Revelation chapter 19? What, does it bother you that I tell people that you have no promise of preservation in your Bible? That your Bible does not tell you to rightly divide? That your Bible does not really say the Scripture is given by inspiration? We'll talk about that tomorrow's program. You know, I would still like to hear from you folks out there. I'm hearing from a few more people here and there, but we get more. We just keep it going here. We're on until October now. We pay for this thing on a month-by-month basis. Radio time is not cheap. If you want to help us out, doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but you want to help me stir the mud, which is what we're doing here, give me a call. And just because I'm from North Dakota, don't hold that against me. I'm originally from South Dakota. I've lived in Las Vegas, taught down there. I've lived in Rochester, New York. I've taught over there. I lived in Idaho. I have lived in the state of Washington as a pastor. I tried to move to Texas a number of years ago. Ended up in Las Vegas instead. Does that mean you should trust me? No. Let me just show you what the Bible says, and you can put your faith and trust in the words of God, just like you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You want to have your faith and trust in Jesus' earthly teachings or in Jesus' teachings to the Gentiles, of which we are. Put your trust in that King James Bible. Believe it for what it says, rightly divide it, and you'll have no contradiction. And yes, we go to Paul only. We read the rest of the Bible, it's all there for us, but what's to us is what Paul wrote.